You know what? Tonight, he's going to share their thoughts with us tonight. You know, again, I've mentioned we don't look for speakers up here. We're just people sharing their thoughts. And the young lady that's going to share her thoughts with us tonight, I used to work with Dallas Union Tribune umpteen years ago. Yes, we worked together at that Union Tribune where you had to be in there and poke that button by 7 o'clock in the morning. No matter how much traffic's out there, you got to poke that button by 7, huh, Judy? Yes. And from there, we got to be pretty good buddies, and I got to know her son that's all grown up man and has his own children now. Years gone by, huh? And she knew River Nida Hill, the lady that was called my earthly teacher, River Nida Hill. She was in class with her, and one of my memories is when we had This Is Your Light, I don't know how many of you came when we had that little film, and we tried to show it up here, but it didn't work very good. This Is Your Life, Mom Hill. I don't know who was there, but her little boy, Sammy, was there, and yeah. Her little boy was one was helping hold the sign up. This is your life, Mom Hill. Now he's a great big tall man that I don't even get to see anymore. But Judy has really been a part of this thought pattern for a lot of years. She disappeared out of my life for quite a while, though, and moved to Texas and came back again. And but she knows that she knows that she knows that God wants to use her. So she doesn't go too far away. Now she lives in Orange County, so we all get to see her once in a while. Most of you already know her, right? That's Judy Adams as I know her. But now her last married name is Coos. Judy Coos. Judy. Bill, are you holding her up so she can't get out? Our Judy.
Thank you, everybody. You know, I just come here and I fill up with all of your love and all your joy. And my intention is to bring that back to everybody and to the entire world. So I'm not really a speaker, but I am quite the talker, so I should be successful. So first, I want you to notice the energy in the room, our singing and the crowd, the love, this brand new 3-week-old baby. The love is just tangible. So take a second and really tune in and just feel how we're surrounded with our angel friends. They love this group that gathers. They've been telling me this for days, don't forget to say. They love that we gather together and we find joy and we inform one another and we support one another. So that's a blessing to each one of you, and thank you from all of our angel friends. And now I wanted to read this. I was rooting through all my stuff to figure out what I was going to say, and kind of in gratitude to Millie, who's like an adopted mom to me, but like she said, I met her at the Union Tribune, and she used to do these ditties for everybody. She could just sit down and she'd just scribble them out. And so I think the first birthday that I knew her, she was supposed to be working, and so was I, and somehow we were blabbing instead. And she wrote this. So really listen to it. And Millie knew this and wrote this down in this little ditty, what, 30 years ago?
Well, easy.
Even more possibly. So it's Judy, our birthday.
70s, wasn't it? No, 80.
Probably late 70s, early 80s, somewhere in there. Because I think Jason probably was 6 or 7. Great. Right in there.
Just a little bit of years.
Just a few years back. But remember that it's that far back, and this is what she wrote. And most of you know me, so you'll know how it does relate to how I try to function on the planet. And just, I'm sorry if I wake a little pumpkin up. You over here?
Yep.
A loud voice.
Oh.
You are God's child of grace, as your lives on earth unfurl. Millie, you should read this because you read it so much better. You'll see you're in a special place. You've chosen this walk on the earth plane to help God's children gain their faith. And as each day goes by, you'll see your light glows brighter in your face. And as others see the shining glow, their Father God, they will better know. And although the load you've chosen has been ever so hard, it seems, your God is waiting to answer all your heartfelt dreams. Now I'm going to cry because this is so late. So ask aloud and be sure you'll gain, because God loves you. It's very plain. The smile you wear brightens many a heart, and your hand from God will never part. So happy birthday now, and so let it be that your year anew has set off happy and free. God has so much planned for you to do, and so many, many good things to see you through. So that's the start I got. Was I blessed or what? To have her sitting right there in the little workaday room, and I could chatter with her and quiz her on anything that was going on whenever I wanted. So I feel very blessed. Now, Spirit has asked me, I have reams of notes and papers and things to say, and I may follow some of them, but they wanted me to speak from my heart because they feel that what I have to share is more from the heart than from the brain. And probably everybody in here has had my personal lecture on how essential it is that we love the beautiful being we are. God made us all. He made us perfectly. And it was, and we look at this baby and we see how perfectly we were created. And then society and family and everything kind of started putting notions in our head that we are not quite as perfect as we wish we could be. And so I think we all came maybe to learn this lesson that we come in as pure love, and then society, so to speak, kind of knocks us down a few notches, and then we have to recapture that. And so I feel as though that's my mantra to everybody, is find that self-love. That's our power. That's what empowers us to be what we came here to be for God. And it's not narcissistic and selfish love. It's when you love yourself wholly and completely, it's so easy to love everybody else. And we feel that in here, don't we? We feel unconditional love when we're in here. Nobody judges anybody. Nobody has a harsh word for another. That's that kind of love that we're inspired to have for ourselves. And I was here a couple Sundays ago, and it was all message service, and I wasn't sure I should be talking about this because it's so my mantra almost, but I was given proof. Every message, everybody who got a message, it was about how wonderfully they care for others, how generous and kind and loving they are to others, but they forgot to take care of themselves. They weren't looking at themselves and loving who they are and taking good care of themselves. And so it reassured me that's what I'm here to do, just to remind you, each and every one, to love the beautiful being that you are. And I always give this homework to everybody. I've probably raised your hand, probably half or more of you have been given this homework. I learned it when I did holistic massage way back in the day. And I would work on people from Olivia Newton-John who could pay me easily down to people who couldn't pay me, and I just did it because I knew they needed it. And the whole spectrum, everybody had the same lack of self-love. And so Spirit, my angel friends, gave me this through my working on their bodies. This is how you can teach them to love themselves. So I call it the mirror work. And since then, I've read it in different places. I'm not sure if you all have either. But you look in the mirror, and you look in those beautiful eyes God gave you, and you start with, I love me, I love me, I love me, I love me. And it's hard at first. I had a hard time looking in the mirror. I didn't like to look at myself in the mirror. But I moved myself through it because it became very obvious that was what I had to learn. And so when you sense this cognitive, this computer brain we have that we're very grateful for, and we're grateful it works beautifully, but when you get that brain in sync with I love me, and it flows down into the heart, because that's where our power is in our heart. And so we're connecting our mind with our heart, with I love me, I love me, I love me. And when the tears flow, it's cleansing that connection, the connection that got kind of shut off because society told us we weren't so lovable for whatever reason. And so I'm asking each and every one of you to do that when you have a chance. Don't forget, because when we love the being that we are, we move about in the planet and we touch everybody. It's like that drop in the lake. It ripples out from us and we don't really have to do anything. We just have to be in the state of mind of, I'm a loving being. God created me perfectly. My intention is to lift the vibration of the planet, and this is how I do it. But it all starts within. Catching your mind chatter. Whenever you catch that mind chatter, demeaning yourself, belittling yourself, pick up that mantra. You don't need the mirror then. You just go, I love me, I love me, I love me, I love me. Where you can't have both. You can't have love at the same in the same mind state as lack of love. They just don't go together. So all you have to do is override that dysfunctional thought to a loving thought. And then you empower yourself. As each and every one of us empowers ourselves, we move out into the world and we help uplift everybody else. My greatest joy is seeing somebody who is a little sad kind of smile just because the silly gal just smiled at him. That's all it took. It didn't take intelligent words or something incredible. It just took love from the heart that was pure and unconditional. Okay, now let me see. Well, I think at the very beginning they wanted me to also say that because of these gatherings and the energy of our angel friends and our higher self or our God, they offer the divine blessings of love, joy, peace, and health. An abundant life in all forms for everybody. So when you're in this place of love, you can accept that, can't you? When you're saying I'm not enough or I'm not good enough, it's hard to receive all of that they have to offer us. So I needed to make sure I got that point across. Pay attention to how receptive you are to the goodness in this world. We actually live on a beautiful planet. And our energy either brings it down and makes it a less than desirable home, or it's a loving energy for our Mother Earth and it makes it a beautiful home. Our imagination is powerful. So when you're in this empowered state of loving yourself and loving Mother Earth, then you, with your visions, can make this a better world. We're the ones who are transmuting or changing what the old earth was like. The old earth is changing. We're moving into a new vibration, and I think you can all feel the chaos that goes with it. But in the course of that chaos, we are moving what no longer serves us, the dysfunctional systems and the dysfunctional thoughts, and we as empowered, loving human beings can look at these ugly situations and transmute them into something beautiful with love. Does that make sense? Yes. I feel that's our job. I feel that we have this spiritual understanding and we're the vanguards that came here to the planet to make a huge difference. And so when I see these faces that gather here all the time, it makes my heart so happy because it's not just one or two or three of us sprinkled around. This is an example of how many of us really came here, knowing that we had the spiritual evolvement before we landed on the planet to make a huge difference right now. Let me check my notes now. Okay, it says, I feel like I've already kind of gone past this point, but God is love. We are love. And we are the magnificent beings of love. And I feel as though that's what our angel friends want us to really know, that we know that we know how magnificent we are. It goes beyond knowing that there's life out there and believing that we can communicate with our angel friends. Those are our tools to inspire us to do something. We landed here on the earth with our feet on the ground because we had a job to do. And so we're using all this information that we have gleaned to implement creating this beautiful planet. I'm feeling it, are you? A lot of people think we're going through really hard times. And yes, I see what goes on. I don't ignore the news. But I look at it and I find a little joy in the fact that that's the chaos. It's like cleaning out the closet. That's the mess. We have to have a look at it, and then we pick and choose what we want to retain and carry along with us. We're only going to keep the good stuff, right? We're not going to carry hatred or anger or any of the things that have caused all of this hatred and turmoil and chaos in the world. We're going to take the good stuff with us. We do it as individuals first, and then we kind of magnetically include more and more people, and that's the direction we're going. I hope that made sense. Yeah? Okay. Another point is we have been taught to look outside of ourselves for all the information that we learn that from childhood, our parents, schooling, everything is learn outside. So we're taught we have to look outside in order to gain information or wisdom. And I believe that we gain our greatest wisdom when we're connected with this wonderful computer to the wisdom of the universe. And then we have all knowledge. It's available. When we need it, that knowledge is available. And so we hear the sayings, look within. Can't remember, I don't quote the Bible very well, but it look inside ourselves. Our job is to put our mind inside. Love this, listen to this. This is our God self speaking to us, saying, every step of the way, you'll be guided if you'll just listen. And that's our greatest wisdom. It's not what you read in the book yesterday. To me, that's outdated already. The books are outdated. We're moving so rapidly now into this amazing, creative, beautiful existence. And it's for everybody. It's not for the rare few. We're paving the way, possibly, but we're doing this so everybody can live a life that's rich and fulfilled, and they have food, and they don't have to worry. And I think that's my real reason for being willing to talk and trying to help uplift people is nobody deserves to be in lack. Why do some have plenty and some have nothing? It's not that they can't have it. There's more than enough abundance on this planet. We just have to shift our mindset to draw to us what it is we need. And when we listen from within, we will be guided to the answer to whatever our limitation is, whatever it is, if it's monetary or love or whatever it is that we feel a vacancy, it's there. None of us, we're all part and parcel of God. It's all there for us. It's only our mindset that limits us from receiving it and knowing that we can have it all. So time for a reboot with this old computer system. It's time to give it a, like our computers, kind of wash out all the old stuff that no longer serves us. It's old. It served us up until now, kept us safe and moving along, but we have the option to have a reboot with a whole new system, a benevolent universe that we live in, that we're a part of, and that we can pull in this benevolence in each and every way we need. Whatever anybody needs, it's readily available. And if you pay attention and your mind will allow for that, that's what will be drawn to you. But if you stay kind of in the, I'm not deserving, the less than good enough for it, then that's where you stay stuck. I want you all to get unstuck. I call it the tar pit. It's time to get out of the tar pit. That's not working anymore. That's really old-timey. Where the dinosaurs stayed there. We don't need to stay there. We are being picked up to a higher vibration. And the joy and the love that we feel right here is that very vibration that we could live minute to minute on the planet. It's not just when we meditate or just when we come and gather and share it with one another. It can be moment to moment to moment, and that's how we're creating this new earth. And each and every one of us is playing a role in that. We need every single one of us to be that self-empowered, loving being so that you're able to move out, take one step in front of the other, and do your job. What is your job? Just to love everybody, lift the spirits of everybody. But you start with yourself. You can't lift another if you haven't lifted yourself. So bottom line, back to love the beautiful being you are. Last week, Bill commented about this love. The second commandment is love thy neighbor as thyself. And I think we got lost in love thy neighbor, and we all help our neighbors, and we want to. That's a joyful thing, to love thy neighbor. But we were a little misguided on the love thyself. It's key. It's got to be first. I don't know why they scrambled that sentence. I wish they'd put it in a little different order, because the loving thyself has got to come first. A couple more minutes. Okay. Okay, talked about creators. Oh, I kind of feel like I finished it, but my last sentence that I wrote was, it's a call to action, and I think I already kind of said that. I feel as though I want to inspire each and every one of us to recognize that we are very powerful beings, and that what goes on in our heads and our hearts has a huge impact on the planet and everybody and everything upon her. The planet is conscious. The rocks are conscious. Everything. The cells in our body are conscious. So if you need a healing and you can't get to Wednesday night or Sunday morning for a healing, you talk to the beautiful cells of your body. And you love them, because that's the healing force. You love every cell of your body. It may not be perfect in the eyes of everybody else, but man, does it work perfectly for each of us. We're still here and we're still moving around, right? So I'm very grateful for the cells of my body. They keep me pretty healthy and active for a 64-year-old woman. I feel as though my sharing love and communicating with the cells of my body has given me an extra impetus to stay youthful and active, and thereby having more to offer the planet. Thank you. Thank you for listening.